Job.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Where do businesses in Kent go to do business? Supplymybusiness.co.uk. Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join today. Supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on Tuesday the 9th of August with me, Paul Andrews, and the famous Joe Dodds. The famous chilled and relaxed Joe Dodds.
I am, and I'm very happy as well because we've had somebody saying thank you for the shout out. A great show today. That's Oasis.
Oasis, yeah.
That's not how it's spelt though. I was just reading it as it said was said. Is that what they're called?
Well, it's O hyphen A hyphen Sis.
Yeah. So do they just pronounce it Oasis?
No, I do.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Just checking.
How would you pronounce it?
Oasis. I don't know. Oh, do you know, Twitter didn't think it through, did they?
They didn't.
When they did all this naming lock thingy. Yeah. I mean, it works, obviously, when you're called Joe Dodds, because it all fits quite nicely and you can say it very easily.
Absolutely.
But when it gets more complicated...
I'm going to read a tweet. I really shouldn't, but I'm going to read the tweet. And I'm going to read. And the reason I shouldn't is because she's been hassling me to read the tweet, hasn't she, Bird? She keeps sending people messages going, when's he going to read it? When's he going to read it?
Well,
when's he going to read
messages,
it?
You've had messages, Bird, asking him to read the tweet.
Yeah, yeah.
I like your style. All you have to do is tweet me, because I don't get any tweets. So when I get them, then I respond. But I probably have and not. Go on then.
So I'm going to read it. I should have been really my normal self and just not read it at all, really. That would learn her, wouldn't it? But I'm going to read it because it's a good tweet. It's from Fast to Photo on the Twitter. F-A-S-T, number two, F-O-T-O, Fast to Photo. And there's a free family day out on the 27th of August, Gillingham in Kent. Learn about hypnobirthing and child anxiety, plus the chance to win Memoirs of a Bump. Memoirs of a Bump.
Did you say it was a family day out?
Yes.
And then you followed it up with learning about hypnobirthing and what?
Child anxiety.
Okay. So the children go along and learn that too?
Well, there's no point in solving child anxiety if there's no kids there, is there?
Tweet again and tell us what's actually happening.
The way this is clearly going to work is you're going to generate some anxiety and then solve it.
Yes.
Okay, but it's hypnobirthing, child anxiety, and
the
chance to...
the holidays, they might be, very anxious by then.
Yeah, so let me read the whole of it.
Start again.
Yeah. So before you get too critical, join us for a free family day out, games, fundraising, a book launch, guest speakers, fast cars, special guests, and much, much more. It's the Happy Bunnies Nursery, and it's on Saturday the 27th of August from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and that's in Gillingham. And it doesn't say exactly where in Gillingham.
At the happy thingies. At the nursery. But people can Google that, can't they?
Yeah, they can.
So hang on. So when you started it and you said family day out, and then you said, and you'll learn hypnobirthing and anxiety.
I'm just reading the tweet.
Why did you not? You've clicked on it. Oh, I'll let you off.
I'm reading the tweet. I'll read it again.
It was all the detail of the, fun and games that I was... wondering.
But that's not in the tweet.
Right, okay. So you clicked on it and found out more. Is that what you did?
Shall I explain?
Yes, please.
Okay. You've got to be quiet, though, while I explain. Yeah. There's a tweet with some words in it.
Yes.
And I read the words.
Yes.
And under it is a picture of a poster. And on the poster, which I read, is the bit about fun and games and fundraising.
Right.
So I did it in sequence. I know, call me difficult, but I read it from top to bottom,
It makes sense now.
Oh, good. Anyway, I think we've got to the bottom of that.
Yes.
But I'll tell you what, the easiest thing to do is to follow Fast to Photo on the Twitter and find out more about their event on the 27th of August, don't you?
So, yes, apologies, Fast Photo. He didn't tell me there was other bits to it when he first did the tweet.
It was clearly my fault. it was clearly my fault. It was clearly my fault. Right. I'll tell you what, you can read another tweet then.
Oh, I will find one then.
All right, I'll read one. The Yarrow Hotel. Thanks for the Business Bunker shout out. Much appreciated. You need to visit us sometime to have a look at what we're doing. That's the Yarrow Hotel in Broadstairs. Let me find their tweet properly. Oh, here it is. It's a unique new boutique hotel owned and operated by East Kent College, would you believe?
Yeah, that's good, isn't it? I saw that one. That
yeah. Because Mid Kent College have a very similar setup. They have Oakwood Park, Oakwood House Hotel, which is also run by the college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Good idea.
We had a tweet from Luxie Consulting. I don't know. Do you know the lady's name, Linda?
Linda Garcia.
She says she's a born organiser and pedantic perfectionist.
Oh, I can agree with that. I'm having dinner with her on Friday as well.
Ah.
Yeah, and boy, has she been pedantic about pitching where we're going to have dinner. She refused to eat anywhere that didn't have carpets. I'll just leave that there.
Yes, okay. And moving on. So there is one from Supply My Biz. Do you think we ought to read that one out?
Well, it all depends what it says. If it Martin says, wrote it, I'd be very careful.
Well, he's saying they're very delighted that LDB Group have become their latest members.
Oh, let's do business. I know LDB. They've been on the show. They're a business support organisation based in Hastings, I think. Yeah. Graham Marley, if I remember rightly, is the chief executive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Good stuff. I'm going to do one more email and then we're going to talk to our next guest, I think, and induce some common sense and some gravitas to this show. The Wealden Business Group. Return on investment. That's what everyone in business seeks. And in the case of the Wealden Business Group members, that is precisely what they get. The principal goal of the organisation is to generate sales leads among members. And since January, 130 business referrals have been exchanged between the 28 members. Proof positive that networking really works. They have one of these policies where you can have only one company from one industry. And in addition, the Wealden Business Group has a lively social calendar, including raising money for local good causes. This year it supported the Motor Neuron Disease Association. The speakers at each Wednesday's breakfast meeting, a book club, free business help, publications and a curry club. To apply for membership, contact the Wealden Business Group Secretary Dee Bateman at dwebateman, B-A-T-E-M-A-N, at hotmail.co.uk. Or you can go to their website, which is wealdenbusinessgroup.co.uk.
And they're a lovely group. I've spoken there, I think, twice in the last, ten years or something. They've been going forever, haven't they?
Yeah, they tend to meet at a little silver hotel in Tenterton.
That's right. Yes. And I always think of you as I drive there.
Sorry?
I always think of you as drive there.
Well, they invited me to one of their breakfast meetings, but I said it was too far.
Too far to go, yeah.
I live opposite. It's further to put my bins out than it is to go to their hotel, yeah. Anyway, enough of that. Do you know what? It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show, for the first time, I do believe, Mr. David Millam. David, welcome to the Business Bunker Show. Thank you so much for joining us. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here and to, as I say, bring some gravitas and common sense to what we're doing.
Because we need it.
We definitely do. We've been in a very happy, frivolous, frolicky mood so far, and we need to inject some business sense into
this whole thing.
This
is the sensible part of the show, listeners.
Why don't you start off by telling listeners a little bit about you and your background and what you do?
Well, thanks for inviting me, Paul. ASA Finance for Business is a national network. There's 20 of us. We all own our own businesses, so I know firsthand the joys and tribulations of running a small business.
Absolutely.
We specialise in arranging finance, all types of finance, for small and medium-sized businesses. Mm. I've been doing it now for over 23 years. And typically raise between 10 and 12 million a year for small businesses in Kent. But the important thing is that every business, and our client is the business or the business owner, every business is important, and their particular needs, financial needs, really need to be tailored and met.
Yeah.
And it's something that, by and large, the high street banks have lost touch with their business customers.
Mm.
I remember when I started in business, I actually went into the branch that I had my personal account with, and I saw the manager, and he also handled the small business accounts for Faversham, which is where I live and work.
Mm.
And he was able to arrange a small loan, an overdraft, really without going elsewhere. It's totally different these days.
Yeah.
There are some encouraging signs. I think some of the challenger banks, people like Metro.
Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now open in Maystone and Tunbridge Wells. You can take your dog along and...
Yeah, absolutely. And soon to open in Canterbury as well.
Yeah. Yes, and for the medium-sized businesses, Handelsbank, which is purely a business bank, they also have a very personalised touch.
It's interesting what you say, and you're absolutely right. I remember, this was one of the big five banks as well. When I first started in business, the local bank manager, a charming guy called Ian Thompson, when I walked in to do my first business, he went, "Oh, hello, Paul. How are you? I've been looking after your dad's business for 20 years. Yeah. It's really nice to see you." You know, they just knew everything. They knew the family. They knew family history. And I was in a completely different business to my dad. Mm. My dad was a builder. But, you know, it was this personal thing. And they could make decisions based on what and who they knew, not on computer saying no kind of thing. Mm.
Well, a few years ago, I refinanced a firm of solicitors that had banked with the same branch since 1820. And the bank...
Same bank manager?
and the bank had lost the fact that they wouldn't help that particular business.
Yeah.
That really lost touch with their business customers.
So in recent years, there's been people, and I don't know whether this will make you cringe when I say, but people like Funding Circle and some other organisations that write to you all the time. And I don't remember that 10 years ago when I first started. Are they increasingly... Well, appearing.
One of the things I wanted to talk about was the alternative sources of finance, and Funding Circle are probably the largest of the crowdfunders. Mm. We're actually master brokers for Funding Circle. And the mechanism works that small investors lend their money through Funding Circle to small businesses. It's not for everyone. Funding Circle, for instance, a business needs to have been established for 2 years. It needs to be profitable before they will lend to you. But it's extremely quick. We arrange finance for a firm of architects that have forgotten that at the end of January they had a fairly big tax bill to pay. They came to see me on the Friday, needed £45,000, and that money was funded and in their bank account the following Friday.
Wow.
Wow, yeah.
It is really quite a slick system. It's unsecured, other than that directors or partners need to give a personal guarantee. And you're looking at rates for a good creditworthy business of around 8%.
Wow, that's not bad.
Up to 14-15% if there's sort of
any hint of dodginess.
not dodginess. Yeah, yeah, just some bad luck in the past.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's say it like that.
And there's two types of crowdfunding. There's the Funding Circle model, which is a loan.
If you don't mind, Amanda's going to have a go at my back. It's nothing personal, David. Yeah, I'll try not to groan deliciously in the middle of your talking,
you'll feel totally relaxed. Yeah, I certainly do when my back is done. Funding Circle is a loan.
Yeah.
And
I'll just hold it together, Paul. Okay, I'll be interviewing while he's.
Oh, I'm liking this.
When you receive the agreement, it will show you all the list of names, just the name with the amount that they've lent your business.
And
I think that's quite a personalised way of doing it.
Yes. Yeah.
So
yeah,
you
yeah.
get Mr. Smith £50, Mrs. Yeah. Brown £10.
So that begs a question. Sorry to interrupt. I don't know what the sort of default type things are like with that, but do you think that makes it less likely to happen because it's people rather than a faceless bank or whatever?
I think that's part of the reason that they do it like that. But certainly when the Funding Circle assess the credit risk of a business, They build in an anticipated default rate for various categories.
Would you call that peer-to-peer lending? Is that...
That is peer-to-peer lending, yes.
Because interestingly, as you may know, I've operated for a few years as an angel investor myself and lost a lot of money.
Those wings and those halos. Oh, no, they don't have halos, angels. Do just the wings.
And just recently, I've moved more towards peer-to-peer lending as a better risk and less onerous way of lending money. And I've actually arranged those myself. Someone's asked to borrow money from me and I've arranged the thing directly.
So how would you define the difference for you? Because I imagine that's what you used to do before when you were an angel investor.
No.
The funding circle model is a loan model and there's 30, 40 other peer-to-peer lenders of that type. The other type is an equity-based people like Crowdcube, another organisation, where they will actually take a stake in the business.
Right, and that's what
what I was doing. You own a part of the company, and therefore you have a deep commitment to working and making it try and work and all the rest of it, whereas with a peer-to-peer loan, you give someone some money and then you sit there and wait for them to pay you back, basically. The returns potentially aren't as great, but it's far less risky.
Funding circle, typically an investor is going to receive around 6.5% return on their capital.
Right.
Far better than having it stuck in a building society and actually being lent to small businesses.
Mm. Yeah.
Together, funding circle, I think, are unique. 10% of their loan comes from the government through the British Business Bank.
Right, okay.
It's a mechanism for getting funds out to small businesses.
Right. So you said you're master? No.
Master broker.
Master broker for them. Yeah. So how, you've been doing this, you said, a long time. How has it changed? So did you always deal with banks originally, now you're dealing with them much more, or how's it all...
The cheapest finance still comes from the high street banks.
Right.
So if it's a bankable proposition, high street bank, so typically...
With a proper business plan and all that stuff.
You should have a proper business plan in any event.
Oops.
It does help.
Can I just ask you, though, and I know this is a really open-ended question, but I just want your view on it. When you say about bankable propositions for a bank... You hear awful lots of people going, well, the bank didn't even want to know. They didn't even know. You know, from your point of view, what makes a proposition more bankable or more likely to be bankable?
The key thing that you have to do with any proposition is demonstrate how the loan's going to be repaid.
Right.
And people seem to forget that sometimes when they come to you with a proposal.
Yeah.
And clearly for a high street bank, the criteria that they're going to apply is stricter than some of the other...
See, that's what I meant by boring business plan. It's got to be like 25 pages, whereas somebody else might only need 3. You misinterpreted what I was saying.
A good business plan is concise, but demonstrates what's unique about the business. Mm. Why should you lend the money to them? And most importantly, how are you going to pay the money back?
Yeah.
David's absolutely right. Even as an angel investor, people give you amazing, you know, propositions and business plans and all the rest of it, but they always forget the exit. And my first question is always, okay, so you want 50 grand for 5% of your business. How do I get my money back? And they look at you. Some of them look at you and go, really? Yeah. Are we going to sell the business, or are you going to make so much that you're going to pay out in dividends? What are you going to do? Mm. And I go, oh, I haven't thought of that.
Yeah.
And absolutely. So you're absolutely right. People don't think about that. You know, they focus on what they want, on not what you want for doing it.
Yes.
You know, they just assume that you're giving them money because you can't think of anything better to do.
But do you think that would differ? I mean, you know, for all the joking about business plans and pages and everything else, but go and sit in front of a bank and explain, and go and sit in front of, you know, an angel investor or whatever. Is that the thing, though, that people will have different perspectives on what they need to do?
David will give you a better insight into this, but for me, people give me all kinds of plans. Some of them are in depth, some of them are overviews. But in reality, I totally agree with David. I look at two or three things. You know, is your idea viable? Is it? Does it make sense? How much money are you really going to make? Mm-hmm. And how are you going to pay me back?
Does this make sense? Yeah. Is the key question that you have to answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the important thing, and across all sorts of lending, is comes down to the experience and background of the individuals behind the business.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to get finance for a new start business for someone who's never done anything in that field.
Mm. Yeah.
The typical, or I enjoy going to the pub, therefore I'd be able to make a good
publican.
Doesn't work like that.
No, absolutely.
You've got to develop that expertise.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then you're a bankable proposition.
Absolutely. Mm. So from your point of view, as a part of the ASC network, and without giving away client confidentiality, obviously, what's the typical kind of financing deal that you would do?
Well, one of the things that makes my business so interesting is that every deal we deal with is different. The people are different. The business is different. The requirements.
Sorry, I'm all chilled and relaxed now.
having said that, our core business is commercial mortgage work. And typically it's people that have been to their bank and the bank has said, sorry, we don't have an appetite to fund a restaurant or that.
Oh, sort of I like your little pun there. Very good.
We've got him, Joe. We've got him. We've brought him down to our level. Punning and innuendo. That's what we want on this show.
There's a range of lenders that we use. We're doing a lot of business with the so-called challenger banks that have been set up since the crash in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
People like Aldermore and Shawbrook actively lending to small businesses. Key, particularly with Shawbrook, it comes back to this experience. So they're doing a lot of financing for property investors, but not really interested until you've got two or three properties under your belt. Great lenders, easy to deal with. You asked me a little while ago what are the differences I've seen over the last 23 years. I think that now we do virtually everything electronically.
Mm-hmm.
And you can attach enormous files of information to emails. And the expectation is that that's what you do. I can remember going back 2 or 3 years after I started. We used to deal with the commercial mortgage arm of First National Bank, swallowed up by Abbey and now somewhere hidden away in the depths of Santander.
Mm.
But we'd send a proposal, a fairly short one-page synopsis and maybe some supporting accounts to the underwriter, and he'd sort of come on the phone with a bit of trepidation as to whether they were going to say yes or no, and he'd say, David, it's a difficult deal, but we'll do you a favour.
I thought he was about to go, David, it's a yes from me.
Valuation at the applicant's risk, but there was a desire to actually make a decision very quickly.
Yeah.
These days, all the boxes have to be ticked, all the I's dotted.
Yeah.
And someone else appears to be making the decisions. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest challenge. It's getting to the proposal in front of someone that's got the capacity and the authority to actually make a decision.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I just want to focus a little bit on the commercial mortgage aspect of what you said, and you made reference to kind of buying premises that are fundamental to a business, a pub, a restaurant, a shop. Do you find there's a requirement for a lot of commercial lending for non-critical premises, for want of a better word? So if I just want to buy an office block as an investment.
As a straight investment, yes.
Yeah.
There are two distinct commercial markets.
Hmm.
there's the owner-occupied market, and typically for an owner-occupier, so they've been renting the premises for 4 or 5 years, and they have the opportunity to buy those premises, then we can arrange 90%, occasionally even higher than that loan-to-value for the sitting tenant purchase.
Okay.
Because if you think about it, the risk involved... are much less than someone moving premises or setting up a new business. So, and invariably, the cost of the commercial mortgage, particularly with interest rates where they are at the moment, are going to be less than the rent that they're being paying.
Absolutely.
So the accounts will show, yes, they've successfully paid the rent for the last 4 or 5 years. Why shouldn't they continue to be able to pay the mortgage? And after all, it's going to save them some money, and they're going to have that long-term investment for their future pension pot.
Absolutely.
The other type is the investment mortgage, where someone is buying either residential properties or commercial or semi-commercial properties for long-term, normally for a long-term holding, so that they will get ongoing income from the rent and hopefully some capital.
Capital appreciation, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. With us, again, these are horrible questions. I'm sorry, David. With a typical commercial mortgage, what kind of terms are normally offered in terms of length?
On a commercial mortgage, on a straight commercial investment, you're looking at a 20 or 25-year repayment mortgage.
Right.
It is possible to get interest-only mortgages, but typically up to a maximum of 10 years on commercial property. Obviously, with residential property, then you can go to interest-only for 20, 25 years.
Sure. And typically, where are you? Who are the main lenders for against commercial property? Are they back to the banks or...?
The banks are still lending on commercial properties, but they're much more interested in the prime tenants. So that if the tenant is another bank, otherwise they should think they're particularly safe. All the major chains, the Wetherspoons or large commercial organisations like that, then you would get a keener rate of interest than if the property is let to a local business.
Sure.
In other words,
it's a risk factor in there, isn't it?
It comes down to risk.
Yeah, cool. Good. Well, it's a fascinating topic, and it's something that's important to all of us. I think the four things that every business always identifies as being an issue at the moment are access to finance, skill shortages, broadband and infrastructure technology. I can never remember the fourth one. But
loss of memory.
Yeah. Loss of memory from old codgers that run businesses. Yeah.
Red tape, I think.
It's regulation. You're absolutely right, David. Yeah, it's red tape and regulation. So, you see, that doesn't affect me because I just put it in a drawer and ignore it. Or something. No, absolutely. And access to finance has been a big issue, especially for SMEs. And it's great to hear someone like you that's kind of helping people resolve those issues. Obviously, there are people that can't borrow money, and that isn't necessarily because there's a lack of funds. It's just because their proposition isn't actually very good. And we don't always take that on board. But on the whole, absolutely. David, we could talk about this forever. Sadly, we're kind of running out of time. Give us a shout out for how people can get hold of you if they want to talk to you, get your assistance or borrow some of your money.
Yeah. My office is based in Faversham. The website is asc.co.uk. Email kent@asc.co.uk. Or telephone 01795 591 220.
Fantastic.
I look forward to talking to anyone about their business and their finance requirements.
Fantastic.
I think you should come on the show again sometime and do sort of some top tips, you know, like things that would be really
That would be
know,
really good,
it?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll try and organise that.
How it works.
Yeah, we'll try and organise that because you're absolutely right, Joe. And we tried to explore that a little bit in the short time we had available this time. But you're absolutely right. People aren't used to how to do this, and therefore they make lots of mistakes when they go out. You know, you were laughingly talking about business plans and all the rest of it. But there are ways of putting these things together that make it more conducive to the people that you're asking to give you money.
Well, I do also think that a lot of people, it's like a sort of a dark art, isn't it? A hidden art. And people think that they won't get any finance, or that... you know, they need to...
I remember receiving a business plan from a top firm of accountants that ran to 56 pages.
See? And you were laughing at me.
And I phoned up the accountant that put it together and said, how much do the clients want to borrow? It wasn't clear from this business plan. and it's fundamental mistakes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Exactly. Well, I think that's a good idea, Joe. We're going to get David on, and we're going to do top tips in finance at some time before the end of the year, if you're willing to do that, David.
That's great. Thanks very
Fantastic.
Much.
David,
I really enjoyed it, and thank you for the massage.
It's been lovely, isn't it? And while David was talking, Amanda was having a go at me as well, which was lovely.
I thought it was brilliant. On the Facebook Live thing, you were just like talking away as if nothing was going on. Trying to be so professional.
I'm cool. I can multitask, man. Yeah, I can handle it. I've got a couple of tweets, and then we're going to come to Joe's Gems. What do you reckon?
Yes, cool. Okay.
I do these two tweets. Vibe. Hello Vibe team is their Twitter handle. We'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker. Our startup company is letting everyone feel the vibe, and that's a hashtag. And basically, Vibe are based in my little hometown of Tenterton, and they're a web design, marketing, recruitment, all kinds of things, sales support company. Do give them a follow. That's Vibe. Hello, Vibe team is their Twitter handle. The absolutely gorgeous Sally Laker, Sally for Cakes, the maker of the greatest cakes on earth,
She's
tweeted in.
A good bit of PR, hasn't she?
Mm.
Next week, you have to buy Hello Magazine.
Is she in Hello? What's she been up to?
She made the cake for, I think it was the guy that was on MasterChef.
Oh, right, Greg Wallace.
Yes. He got married.
He just got married for the 43rd time or something.
Yeah, no, third time, I think you'll find. Oh, okay. Levercastle, I think it is, and it's out on the 15th. She tweeted it on Facebook yesterday.
Oh, yeah, well, Sally, you should have told us about that. We would have given that a shout out. But she makes the most sublime cakes. She made my birthday cake last year. Absolutely beautiful. That's Sally for Cakes. Sally, number four cakes. David Nolan, who's Bright_Spark. Vanilla Web, if you can find room for a shout out on a Business Bunker, it would be amazing. Bright Spark Creative, offering graphic and web design. And you can follow them on the Twitter at Bright_Spark. So I think it's now time for Joe's Gems.
I was thinking I must send you a jingle for that, mustn't
yeah.
I? I do have one. Yes.
Do you?
I do.
Well, it's no good having a jingle and not giving it to me. Shall I sing it? It's Joe's Gems.
It's better, actually, than mine. Okay, cool. So this week I want to talk to you about productivity because in my Power to Live More business, productivity is really important. And it's sort of back to school time, isn't it? You know, that going back to school in September, all
for
fresh,
me.
New. You know, fresh, new. You know, like we have January and we think, right, new year, new goals, new plans, new being organised, all that sort of thing. Well, you don't have to wait till January. You can sort of do it in September, can't you? So I'm putting together a program about getting stuff done. And I just wanted to share five top tips about productivity today. So the first one is about having a list. I was about to ask Paul a question, but he's just stuck something in his mouth.
I just bit some roll. What am I like?
I know. What are you like? So make a list. So do you have to-do lists, everybody here? Yes.
To-do list.
To-do list.
Yes. If I wrote a to-do list, I'd never do anything. It would take me 18 hours to write a to-do list. For goodness sake.
Lists for me are really important because it's about getting stuff out of your head. Because if you've got stuff all carrying on in your head all the time.
I have the same issue with hair.
Yes.
But I've got it out.
Yes,
no,
you got
sorry.
Rid of it. Exactly. Exactly. Go. So having lists about stuff so that you're not having to carry stuff. I was listening to something the other day that said, I don't know how many things you carry in your head. It's like four things or something. And you add more things and everything else drops out the other side sort of thing. So getting things down on paper or into an app or wherever so that you're not having to think about it all the time is really key. Second one, in the podcast that I do, I've had a number of people say that they do this. And it's about thinking about the three most important tasks for the day. So some people call them MITs, most important tasks. Other people
call
them.
That's clever.
I know. Other people call them other things, but it's about working out what are the three things that if you get those done today, that you'll end the day knowing that you've done enough. You've done the stuff that you needed to get done, even if other things don't get done. So threes, the power of three is quite cool.
Wow.
The third tip is about, again, a bit like the list thing, is using your calendar and reminders. So, again, that you're not trying to remember what's going on because you've got it all planned in and arranged so you don't miss things. And you know what? My calendar app duplicated stuff yesterday and I ended up with two of everything. And I decided that I was going to delete one of them because I like it to be neat and tidy, you know. And I thought, if I delete one, will it delete both? Because it was an error. And I thought, oh, I don't know, I'll test it. And I tried changing things to see if it made a difference to both or just one. So I just did it for a few days and I deleted a few things because I didn't like them being duplicated. And then, do you know what? Last night I had nothing in my diary for this week, which was a bit of a worry and it made me feel very out of control. So it reminded me how important it is having stuff in your calendar and having reminders for things so you don't, again, have to keep remembering them. Number four is being aware of time. Yes?
Can I just... We haven't got very much time, but I just want to say something because this drives me nuts myself.
Yeah.
And I've done it again this week. Somebody asked me if we could arrange an appointment. So I look in my diary and I've got nothing there. So I arrange an appointment. And then an hour later, somebody came back and went, you know, we thought that we might do X time. I've decided I can. And you think, hold on a minute, I'll just book something else. And that happens to me all the time.
Okay, so I have two tips for that.
Yeah,
one of them is that I have, and this might not work for your situation, but in some people's cases it will, I have a booking system where people can automatically book into my diary.
Mm.
So I set up when they can book in, use the system. I use one called Time Trade, but there's lots of them out there. And then it checks my diary automatically and it books them in. So that we don't have any of that to-ing and fro-ing, trying to work out what's appropriate type thing. So if anyone says, can I meet you or can I chat with you, I say yes, use this link, book it in my diary, job done.
Okay.
But the other thing is when you have those little conversations where you have possibilities, I suppose you have to decide whether you're going to accept possibilities or if you're going to do first come first served. If you are going to accept possibilities, I put them in my diary as possibilities so that then if somebody's trying to book on top of it, I've already got something that might be happening.
The drawback to that is I used to do that.
Yes.
And then I'd turn up to a meeting that wasn't.
Yeah, but you write, question mark. You don't make it.
You see, that's the thing.
Yes.
Question mark.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So basically, it's either an unconfirmed meeting or you are meeting the Joker. Basically.
The other thing is because other people aren't always as organised as you might be,
it's
a good idea to check that people are still available for the meeting, which winds me up having to do it because if it's in your diary, people should just turn up, shouldn't they?
Absolutely.
But how many times have you turned up and the person wasn't there? So checking is a good thing too.
Absolutely.
So number four is about being aware of time and Parkinson's Law. Do you know Parkinson's Law? I'm sure you do.
Yes, but you can tell us again, Jo.
So time expands. No, stuff expands.
Work expands to fit the time available.
Exactly. Yeah. So how many times have you gone on holiday, you've had half a day to get everything done before you go away, and you manage to get 3 million times more stuff done than you would normally do because you had a deadline and off you went. And yet on other days where you don't have that deadline, it takes you all day to do less stuff sort of thing. So it's about being aware of it. And you can't really stop it because that's sort of the point of laws. They just sort of happen. That's why we know about them. But perhaps set some deadlines for yourself or perhaps create things where you have a reason to stop something and you've only got a limited amount of time to do something, knowing that you'll therefore get it done quicker. And then the fifth one, because I'm hurrying up. He's pointing his finger at me now. I don't know, he's putting it up. 1 minute. Right, is to learn to say no. So not to say yes to everything. Do you say yes to everything, Paul?
No.
Because you see, your question about having possible meetings, should you have them in your diary or not, one of the things is actually sometimes maybe you should just say no, or if people aren't organised enough to be clear about when they'd like to meet you and when they're available, then maybe just don't meet them anyway.
If I say no, they just ignore me.
But a good tip for that is if somebody asks you to do something, quite often, how many of you say yes to something and then regret it afterwards and then don't want to go back and do it at the time when it comes up because it seemed like a good idea at the time? I used to do it all the time. So a good tip on that is to say, great, thank you, whatever, I'll get back to you, let me check my diary, and then you can go away and actually think about it, compare it to your goals and your plans and the things that you want to do and decide whether you want to do it before committing to it, rather than committing to it and then either feeling bad about doing it or letting people down, which is even worse, isn't it?
Absolutely.
There you go, those are my top five tips for today.
It would just be easier if I hired you as my PA, really, wouldn't it?
For who, exactly?
Well, for me, obviously, it wouldn't do you the slightest bit of good because I'm not paying you.
And I'm not doing it. So there we go. At least we agree on something.
Oh, fantastic. No, that's top tip show. And you're absolutely right. It's just about being organised, isn't it? And getting yourself in a reasonable place to organise yourself.
And because time doesn't change and you can't make more of it. So you have to make
that
the
is
best
very
of
true.
It.
That is very true. Thank you for that. So thank you, Joe. That's Joe's Gems. Thank you for that. Oasis have been on.
Yes. Clearing up
their name. It's actually short for Operational Accounting Systems, apparently.
Nice. And do you know, that reminds me of my dad's business many, many years ago. It was called DMS. And it was called DMS all along. And then somebody asked him what it stood for. So he said it stood for Data Management Services. But he didn't start with Data Management Services and shorten it. He started it the other way around.
Ah.
But it was lucky that it was sensible letters that made proper words that made sense.
He changed it as he went along, didn't he? Yeah.
Dog management
services. Yeah. Diametric manufacturing systems. Yeah. Okay. It's that time in the show again, Joe, when we look at the FSB.
Yes.
There was a small business event that took place at 10 Downing Street. The FSB was at the Cabinet Office table on last Thursday, for Prime Minister Theresa May's first event, a small business summit focusing on how the government should back small firms in the wake of the Brexit vote. Our policy director, Martin McTague, attended, stressing that small businesses want access to European markets, the ability to hire the right people, reassurance on key EU-funded schemes, and a new approach to both regulation and deregulation. Following the meeting, the FSB issued a comment saying today's summit demonstrates buy-in from the very top of government to the importance of small businesses.
Ofgem commits to published tariffs and an end to auto rollovers. Energy market regulator Ofgem has announced its commitment to energy reforms set out by the Competition and Markets Authority earlier this year. This means energy suppliers will no longer be able to lock micro-business customers into restrictive auto rollovers. They'll also have to publish clear, comparable tariffs. This is a big win for FSB, as we've long campaigned for a fairer and more transparent energy market. In their press release, they also called for Ofgem to develop a framework for regulating energy brokers or third-party intermediaries by the same deadline of June next year.
Cool. There's a reform to business rates appeals process. The Department for Communities and Local Government has outlined its plans to reform the business rates appeal process. Under the plans, a new online service will enable business owners to quickly and efficiently check and challenge their business rates bill, while a new three-stage check, challenge, appeal process will help prevent speculative appeals and ensure genuine disputes are resolved more quickly. Business owners will be charged a £300 fee to lodge an appeal, which is refunded if the appeal is successful. However, small business owners may be eligible for a reduced fee rate when making an appeal as part of a package to support small firms, which will provide guidance to help them navigate the system without the need for professional support. The plans follow a DCLG consultation on the appeals process, which was launched back in October 2015, where the majority of respondents said that the current system was overly complex and in need of reform. If you'd like to find out more, you can go to www.gov.uk.
Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses. If you run a small firm, it's worth learning more about the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses program. It provides high quality practical education specifically tailored to the needs of UK small business leaders. Participants will receive 100 hours of teaching designed by leading experts and delivered through online and residential sessions led by Said Business School, University of Oxford, together with Aston University, University of Leeds and Manchester Metropolitan University. The programme is fully funded for successful applicants and applications for January 2017 are now open.
Cool. I used to work for Goldman.
I know.
The FSB are calling all high energy users. Are you looking to change your lighting, cooling or energy controls in your premises? If you are, you can apply for up to £10,000 towards the capital cost of your project if it demonstrates payback within 5 years based on protected energy savings. This will mostly apply to businesses with high energy consumption that can make 10K's worth of energy savings. And this is being handled through the Carbon Trust and the Green Business Fund. And they had £3.5 million to disperse by December 2017.
Make sure you know your responsibilities around managing waste. FSB has teamed up with Right Waste, Right Place. Why are you doing that?
Waste.
Waste. Oh, I was spelling it differently.
I'm all slim now that Amanda's finished with me.
Yes.
She gave me a right going over and I've got a slim waist now.
Yes.
Haven't I? They're laughing. Why are they laughing?
Miracles and all that. Right waste, right place as a campaign ambassador. Every establishment or business that produces waste right across the UK has the responsibility to manage it properly. RWRP helps businesses to know what to do to comply with the law when disposing of waste. The website has a simple guide to duty of care and other information that can help you check whether you're already managing your waste in a compliant way, and if not, what changes you need to make to ensure you are in future. So you can go to rightwasterightplace.com/whatisdutyofcare, or with hyphens in the middle, #simpleguidetodutyofcare, all with hyphens in the middle.
It's one of the problems with reading out things on you know, people have these humongously long web links, and we must work out a way of shortening them.
Because then the shortened ones don't help either when they're like
T46639#. Yeah,
exactly.
There must be some way of handling it.
Yes.
The latest UK innovation survey has been published, and it found that more than half, 53%, of small and medium-sized firms were engaged in innovative business activities from 2012 to 2014. That's up from 45% during 2010 to 2012. According to a survey of 15,000 businesses and business owners by the Department for Business, the UK Innovation Survey has revealed that 42% of innovative firms use non-technological innovation, with developing new business practices, 27%, new methods of organising work responsibilities, 19%, and changes to marketing strategies, 16%. Sounds like most of that is Joe's Gems stuff, really, doesn't it, really? The most common forms of non-technological innovation, which are marketing strategies, of the 24% of business owners that use technological innovation, 19% used product innovation and 13% used process innovation. The survey also found that the manufacturing sector was the most innovative, while hotels and restaurants were the least innovative.
Interesting.
Heston, get to work, mate. For further information, go to www.gov.uk/government statistics.
You see, David would say it's because they have less appetite for it.
You puddin'.
Funding for low-carbon vehicle technologies. Around £25 million of competitive funding in innovative low-carbon automotive projects has been announced by Innovate UK and the Department for Business. The funding will be delivered through the Advanced Propulsion Centre, which was set up in 2013 to facilitate access to funding for producers of low-carbon propulsion systems and help them bring their ideas to market. The competition is open to collaborative development projects which have at least one smaller firm as a partner, last from 18 to 42 months, and have total eligible costs ranging from £5 million to £40 million. Deadline for registration is the 14th of September 2016, and deadline for applications is 21st of September. I'm not even going to bother with that link, but apcuk.co.uk, I'm sure if you searched on that website, you will find it, and that's for the low-carbon propulsion innovation.
Cool. There's a new department within government. It's now called the Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy Department.
Does that have a shortened version?
Well, funnily enough, I saw a debate about this. BEAS is what it's called. And there was quite a debate going on in government circles about how you shorten this. But they gave up after a while and they've just gone with BEAS. And obviously it's a replacement for BIS. Which was Business Innovation and Skills, which was the old department. Anyway, following the appointment of Theresa May as Prime Minister, there have been a number of changes to government departments. Greg Clark MP, who is a Kent-based MP, is the new Business Secretary, taking over from Sajid Javid. And the Department for Business, Innovations and Skills has merged with the Department of Energy Climate Change to create the new Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy. The Department for Education has assumed responsibility for further education. Oh, how did I think of that? Skills and Higher Education from the BIS. The Department for Exiting the European Union has been set up to oversee the Brexit process, while a new Department for International Trade is responsible for developing and promoting opportunities for trading overseas. David Davis MP is the Secretary of State for Exiting the EU, and Liam Fox MP is the new International Trade Secretary. By my reckoning, in Kent, we have three Secretaries of State now, I do believe. Damon Green, the MP for Ashford, is Secretary of State for Department of Work and Pensions. Greg Clark, who I think is he Tunbridge? I can't remember what his constituency is, but he's a Kent MP. And he's at the Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy. And, of course, we have now Sir Michael Fallon, who's Secretary of State for Defence and MP for Sevenoaks. So we've got quite a coverage in Kent these days. But that actually brings us to the end of our FSB News Roundup.
Channel Radio News Update.
We're kind of almost at the end of the show now.
Yeah.
It just leaves me to tell you what we've got coming up on channelradio.co.uk for the rest of the day. At 4 o'clock, we have the lovely Natalie Beneig with the Kent Creative Live Show. Natalie explores everything creative, artistic and innovative in the county of Kent. Some fabulous interviews, loads of things she gets up to. I almost said swanning around the county, but that's not right. She goes around the county with her trusty microphone and camera, doing some fabulous interviews with some really creative, artistic people. So do have a listen to the Kent Creative Live Show at 4 o'clock with Natalie Beneig. That's followed at 5 o'clock by Mr. Craig Avery, of the Stripey Socks and the Ladies' Favourite with his celebrity interviews. And Craig's on from 5 till 7. And then at 7 o'clock, we have...
Welcome on to the New
Potato Show. 18 tracks of unsigned, new, up-and-coming music presented by Mr. Jamie Andrews on the New Potato Show. That's from 7 until 9. And then at 9 o'clock, we have our comedy music show, I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet, which focuses on the hilarious year of 1967. Why it's hilarious, I'm not entirely sure, but apparently it is a particularly funny year.
You said that last time. Is it the same year or a different year?
It's the same year every week.
Every week.
It's the funny... I have no idea why. It is so funny. 1967 is just such a weird year. It's the year we didn't win the World Cup, for instance. It's just...
It was the year that I hadn't been born yet. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. So, no, it's just endless comedic fun.
Wow,
and that's I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet at 9 o'clock. And, of course, we round off the evening, as we always do, with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
Drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So, as always, we finish off the evening with the wonderful Boy George and the Club Culture Show here on channelradio.co.uk. But we're at the end of another show, and I'd just like to say a massive, massive thank you to everybody that participated in the show, to Deborah Fielding of Myrus Media, and do look out for her in September at the Women in Business Conference at the Crescent Turner Hotel in Whitstable. A huge thank you to the lovely Amanda Wells of Lava Spa.
Who's still not speaking?
She's not going to talk to us.
You could run up here and go, thank you, just into that microphone.
No, she doesn't want to talk. She's one of those ladies that's just really good with her hands.
She is? Yeah, exactly. And is that your strap line?
Yeah, good with my hands.
Her hands, not your hands.
Hey, listen, we can work on it. And so do give Amanda a follow. And I tell you what, do get yourself shelled up. Is that how you'd say it?
Yeah, probably not.
Okay. And a massive thank you to David Millam of ASC Finance, and some really interesting stuff coming out of that. And I think we've already agreed that we need to do a follow-up program about that to explore that in some more depth. So a big thank you to all of you for taking part in today's program. Thank you to the lovely bird who sat next to me.
Filmmaker.
Sarah Ann Lucas, our person in charge of production for Facebook Live, making me coffee, and generally being a great person to have around the studio. A massive thank you to the famous Joe Dodds for co-presenting today's show. We will be back with you next week on the Business Bunker Show.
Yeah, we.
You're back as well. Yeah, 2 weeks running.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must be summer, folks. She's working 2 weeks running. You can't say further than that, really, can you? But thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week, and we'll see you all soon. Have a great week.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.